Okay, we're gonna open with a public hearing about the dock project. Do I have a motion to open the public hearing? Kathy, seconded by Jenna, all in favor?
Aye.
Like the air commission.
Excuse me?
I'm sorry.
Could we try to talk loud first?
Oh, the air off, that's why I don't understand, because I didn't understand what you're saying.
Don't do that.
No, okay, okay.
Yeah. So, let's set the ground rules for this public hearing. As you know, we're talking about the dock, and we're kind of limited to what is in the zoning code. 325-17-1D and related aspects of the code. I ask that you're, before you speak, please speak loudly, push this through the AC on, so it's either speak loudly or turn it off, just whenever you suffer. Try to limit your comments to 3 minutes and to information that will contribute to our understanding of the project rather than emotional responses. I guess we'll start with a short presentation by Pat, the engineer for Colorado.
Why are we talking this out tonight?
So you're doing what?
Don't you want to say again what it is we can talk about?
Well, let's let Pat do his thing first.
Would this be
Yeah, I'm good.
That's good, that's okay. Anyway, I'm Pat Rodriguez, consulting engineer from Pinderup. I'm here with J.R. Hefner, his attorney, and some of the Colorado family. And we're here to talk about the section of the bulkhead down at the dock that was replaced. Colorado's purchased the dock property in 2014, and as a result of owning it, they looked it over to try to see what items might need work. They did some erosion control work down here, which is not the subject of tonight's hearing, but it was part of what they did as part of, you know, owning the property. Down here on the north end, there's a existing side berth that was settled in and appeared to be falling into the water, so I advised them that they really ought to replace it. We ought to do something to repair it. So we prepared plans, we had it surveyed by Jeff Glass, who's a local licensed surveyor. This was the topography beforehand. You can see the areas where there were pits. I've also got some pictures I'll show you. This was a concrete bulkhead on top of wooden timbers. The wooden timbers were rotten in this area, which made the concrete settle. The plan that was approved by DEC and the Army Corps included replacing 75 feet of concrete and wood with a steel bulkhead to match the existing steel. And that was reviewed and approved by Army Corps and DEC and the Office of State. Here's a picture that was taken before the work was done. This is the area here. I had advised them that they put some jersey barriers out there to keep vehicles from getting close to this because it looked to me like it was imminently going to fall in. So that's what it looked like before the work was done. This is what it looked like after the work was done. There's steel bulkhead put exactly in the same spot, backfilled behind it with stone. How many pictures I have here? These were contributed. I can take these. This was a before picture, and this is an after picture, which are actually quite helpful to demonstrate why the work needed to be done. If you look at this picture here, you'll see these are wooden timbers here with concrete on top. Why they did it like that, I have no idea. But in this area here, the wooden timbers had rotted, and the concrete set. So I believe it used to be up at about the same height as the steel, and it settled pretty good. The new steel across there is all straight across. This is another picture that also helps show the rotten. This is another picture that was contributed. And this area here was where the wood really rotted, and you can see the stone wall and the concrete wall took a dive there. All right, in the new setup, steel goes straight across. And this is just, this is an aerial view. This is from a recent Google Earth photograph. It shows the property. This is the section that was repaired. This is part of a little island there that's all wooded now. And this is the gravel parking lot for the city park. This picture here is from the city park. If you drive out about as far as you can go, and you look south towards the dock, this is what you'd see, you know, in June when I took this picture. If you look at this, the old steel, the different sections are closer together than the new steel. This is the new stuff here. This is this 100-year-old stuff here. So it's all at the same height. It's all the same color. You can see the high water mark when the water level is up. You have about maybe 4 feet that shows. Anyway, so we're here to listen to your comments.
Right. So once again, read from the code. But before that, a reminder: when you speak, please loudly tell us who you are and direct your comments, not questions, to the board, not to the applicant. At Jenna's request, we're talking about 325-17-1D, which of course refers to other parts as well. The planning board shall impose additional conditions on such use as may be necessary to protect the health, safety, and welfare of residents living in close proximity to commercial docks and the public while recreating and using public facilities adjacent to commercial docks as authorized in the LWRP. The point being that the zoning that was made law in 2011 is what obtains in this case. Who would like to start? Right, yeah.
Can you walk through me? My name is Julie Metz, and I'm a property owner and resident in Hudson, New York, and very proud to be part of this city. Most of us in this room gave up magical thinking sometime around kindergarten, but Colo Russo and its representatives want us to believe that their dock is not connected to their haul road proposal, that their trucks magically disappear when they reach the dock. They are also trying to use smoke and mirrors to get around Hudson's 2011 zoning laws. Let's review. Colo Russo trucks leave the mine, travel down the haul road, creating noise, kicking up dust clouds, creating serious hazards for pedestrians and cars, and damaging sensitive wetlands along the way. Then they cross the CSX rail lines, a disaster for infrastructure and a huge safety hazard. Then the trucks end up at the dock. The dock supports the activity of the haul road and vice versa. Colo Russo has repeatedly attempted to separate the dock from the haul road. The haul road and the dock are connected physically and operationally for Colo Russo, just like my knee bone is connected to my shin bone. It is not complicated. Colo Russo's property in Hudson, including the dock, is governed by non-conforming use language in our 2011 zoning code. The law was written specifically to prevent additional industrial activity above that 2011 baseline. Hudson has the right to impose conditions on that use. In fact, non-conforming use, by definition, implies that the use will eventually go away. This kind of expanded industrial activity is not in compliance with community plans as embodied in the zoning resolution. Colo Russo clearly wants to expand gravel shipments. Hudson's zoning law of 2011 wants that use to ultimately go away. There must be a sunset clause put in place as part of conditions applied to Colo Russo's use of the dock. But first, we need to see the numbers. Colo Russo must have complied with Hudson's repeated requests to help determine the 2011 truck use level, which must be the cap imposed on current and future truck traffic. Colo Russo has claimed to be open and transparent. J.R. Hefner has said as much during meetings I have attended here and at the zoning board. I have seen no transparency. I see the company acting like a playground bully as they attempt to wriggle out of zoning restrictions. Hudson can make an accurate and reasonable estimate about the level of truck traffic from 2013 and 14, but the company should be acting in good faith and providing information so that our planning board can make an informed decision about the fate of our waterfront, our city, and our economic future. Colo Russo should help Hudson and its citizens by giving actual numbers on truck activity since the purchase of the dock. They should act in good faith to help determine the 2011 truck numbers. They should stop magical thinking that the dock and the whole road are separate. They are all one. They know this is true, and Hudson knows it too. Thank you.
Thank you.
No. It's inappropriate. Would someone else like to speak? Yeah. Identify yourself, please.
What's that, right?
I see you already have a lot there.
No, I have to agree. I'm not reading all that.
Okay, identify yourself, please.
Sorry?
Identify yourself.
It's very hard to hear. I'm Timothy O'Connor, city resident. So when the zoning was created, before the zoning was created, William Sharp, who's the principal attorney for the New York State Department of State, came to Hudson and addressed the Common Council, who was the Common Council was the lead agency on the zoning changes and the LWRP that never went anywhere. So Sharp actually got Cheryl Roberts, who was our corporate counsel, and got her out of the fit. She couldn't figure out how to qualify what should be a conditionally used zone. She said modernizing this, that, and the other. So he came down and he authored a whole list of things which were very specific, and we covered some of those already with the Bobcat. He also said that in speaking of all conditional use permits, and this was speaking about the causeway, but he was speaking about any of the conditional use permit requirements for the property. It would be at the point, William Sharp said, where something happens on the property, where the paving of the road or the road needs to be regraded. If that's regraded, he said, they're going to have to get a conditional use permit for the entire property. So what he was doing is, because the city was concerned at the time about intensification of use or expansion of use, what he was doing was he was taking a holistic approach in the same way that Seeker does, saying, you need a permit for that, we have to look at everything, because the concern was, again and again and again, intensification of growth. And I've got all kinds of quotations with the time on the audio, which you're not here, at wavefarm.org from WJC. It's all online. You can hear them again and again, talking about intensification of use. That was the concern, and that's why we take a holistic approach. And that's why all this talk about truck numbers. Thank you.
Next. Yes.
My name's John Rosenthal.
Can I stand up?
And I have a computer in my current head. But essentially, I'm here to speak about the 2011 zoning and also about how that relates to the project. And to say that, yes, we're here to talk about the dock, but the dock and the haul road are one and the same. So any activity at one place necessitates a review of the whole thing. So I think in talking about volume of material that's shipped to the dock and stored on the dock, I think that's very germane to the conversation about a conditional permit for the dock vis-a-vis their repair work that was done very recently, unpermitted and unreviewed by the city. I'd like to draw everyone's attention to an article that appeared in the April 2012 edition of Atlantic Northeast Rails and Ports, where Paul Colarusso was being interviewed by the paper, and he provided a lot of numbers about what he intended to do in terms of shipping via a shared rail operation with other bulk carriers. And he said that the figure would be 200,000 tons of aggregate, something that he said was crumbs, and this is in 2012. And he said, we're preserving our reserves. He also said we intend not to flood the New York market with cheap aggregate, we will take the crumbs. And in 2012, he also said we have more than enough highway and bridge and aggregate work, a good backlog for the whole year. Now this is or construction of any portion of it triggers a need for a conditional use permit and further scrutiny and review of all of them. The zoning was enacted to control precisely the type of expanded operation proposed by Whole Rizzo. The surrounding area is environmentally sensitive, is zoned as a conservation district. Therefore, according to Cheryl Roberts, the state attorney at the time, in essential accordance with the letter of the Burden Zoning Laws, quote, protections could only be imposed if ONG Wholesome changed what they are doing now. She also stated that, quote, the law presumes that eventually non-conforming uses will no longer be in existence. Coleridge so altered those terms. Therefore, it's time to impose protections and limit them to their non-conforming use, the width of the Hall Road and the state of the dock, the valley expansion of size and operation. The specific conditional terms that apply to the dock activity now are should be under review as well. In December 2016, the project narrative. The first reference of any volume of operation of shipping from the dock under the current proposal is estimated by Craig Manning, J.R. Hefner, January 25th, 2016, as 110,000 to 150,000 tons of aggregate. This number is a decrease from 2012 plans stated by Paul Caruso in the paper of 200,000 tons. And this is before they own the Wholesome Quarry and its transportation infrastructure. Remember, the company's previous plans involved a shared transportation network, not a dedicated private transport operation. The company should tell us why its tonnage totals have increased in the current plan. The company and its representatives repeatedly and publicly state they have no plans to expand their business or grow. Paul Caruso sent a letter to the Greenport Planning Board dated March 28, 2017 that, quote, no future actions are contemplated, unquote. What business broadcasts that they have no plans to grow? And what business would make a major investment in the property if they had no plans for expansion? In that same letter, Paul Caruso implies that the company can't provide information requested by the City of Hudson for, quote, baseline and historic volume numbers, unquote, at the dock. He says that such data is, quote, vague and speculative and therefore not compliant. But in the same paragraph, he says that as much as 50,000 tons of salt was stored at the dock, which he suggests, despite his assertions, that such historic data is most likely available, and certainly the company can attest to the volume of tonnage it stores or ships from the dock as a baseline, considering its claims of value expansion and, quote, business as usual. This is the point of the review. The volume of operation at the dock and along the Hall Road of 2011 is absolutely pertinent, as is accurate data reflecting the current operations. The city needs to understand the burden of traffic that will affect Broad Street, just as one small example. Bar schedules and volumes, truck capacity and numbers, plus increases in mining output, all relate to the non-conforming status of the dock and the Hall Road that is now under scrutiny, plus whatever conditional uses that they might have inherited from the Wholesome OG. Furthermore, after directly stating to Atlantic Northeast Rail reports a specific transportation tonnage total and other information that might be broadly construed as proprietary, or certainly a general business plan that conforms intentions to its competitors, it is odd that Caruso refuses to provide reliable information as to truck numbers, peak operation days, and volume activity at the dock to the city. Paul Caruso said this in the same time, this March 28, 2017 letter, quote, we are not inclined to disclose proprietary information concerning our customers, the markets we serve, customer purchases, or any other information that might provide our competitors in a highly competitive market with business information that may allow interpolation of volume and pricing. I remind you of Mr. Caruso's quotes to Atlantic Northeast Rail Reports, a publication that could be read by his competitors. Why is it inappropriate to provide information to the city as part of the lawful review process, but appropriate to provide to an industry publication? Furthermore, publicly available federal data shows that operator hours jumped dramatically from 31,574 operating hours at the quarry mining operator. In 2014, the year they purchased the Wholesome operations, 40,151 in 2015 and 51,853 in 2016. None of the previous years of operation going back to 2006 show anything as drastic as those shifts. Mr. Prendergast dismisses all of this and recently said that the data reflected that the company was, recovering from the recession in 2014. That is what he says the data is showing. It is interesting to note that the company's operator hours never varied so dramatically up or down in any three-year period during the 2007-2009 recession or any other time during that, between 2006 and 2014. I'm reminded that Mr. Colbert told Atlantic Rail Reports in April 2012 that business was strong, that they had more than enough work, and in fact, they had a backlog. So volume at the dock and truck traffic is absolutely essential to their operations.
Yes.
Peter Gunn, 512 Warren Street in Hudson. Mm-hmm. I was very much part of and aware of and a participant in the 2011 zoning that was passed. It was shepherded through the process by the attorney Cheryl Roberts. The zoning law was packaged into the LWRP as and that's all as one large piece of legislation. The LWRP, as we know, has not been ratified by the state, but the zoning laws did take effect as local law. And in those proceedings, we had many evenings here in City Hall. In those proceedings, the attorney consistently reminded us of the nature of non-conforming use and the implications for it. And so my message to the board tonight is that you should feel greatly empowered by the language surrounding non-conforming use. It gives all kinds of abilities to restrict the expansion of this. And it is my understanding, and Mitch, you correct me if I'm mistaken, that the implication of the term non-conforming use is that it means that the city does not envision that use as a long-term existing component of the waterfront. It envisions a very different outcome. So my suggestion to the board would be, if it's a non-conforming use, and if that's memorialized in all of our LWRP and our zoning, then it makes no sense to grant any kind of improvements, any kind of road rebuilding, any kind of road moving, any kind of paving, any kind of revetment repair, because what you're doing is further entrenching a non-conforming use. So you're basically going against the grain of the existing legislation. The other thing I would say is this. If, hypothetically, the applicant was granted their two-lane industrial paved highway through South Bay and they were up and running, we have no idea whether at some point in time there's going to be a huge infrastructure increase in New York City or New Jersey, or Donald Trump's going to build 15 more castles or whatever. But if they were up and running, I am quite certain there is no statutory authority on the part of either city law or state law that would allow anyone to control the volume of activity once they're up and running. I don't think you can say to them, you can only have 33 trucks. If they want to ramp it up to a level that makes our waterfront uninhabitable, I don't think the city would enjoy the statutory authority to do anything about that. So I think the smart play from the city's standpoint is to preclude that and not let them get anywhere near a situation where it's commercially and economically more attractive to ramp it up. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
One sentence.
Okay, one sentence.
This is William Sharp again, September 26, 2011. The zoning code is not supposed to be able to regulate the internal operations of the business, which is why the alternative was to come up with this holistic approach, which is in your power. Thank you.
Anybody else? Oh, hi. Can you identify yourself, please?
Yes, Ted Gramko, Union Street, here in Hudson. Enough's been said about the rules and regulations. I'm a business person. I'm just going to make one comment about this.
That's
is
all
about
we're
business
really talking
business.
About, the rules and regulations.
Right. So, Mr. Colarusso has not identified what his shipping amounts, what he intends to do with the quarry. He's paid $8 million for a quarry with considerable reserve. We're not trying to put him out of business, we just want to understand what his business is. In my business, I talk about addressable marketplace. His addressable marketplace is currently equal to his nearest competitor. His nearest competitor is 20 miles up the river at Cooigans, operates on a 35 plus acre industrial lot. They're shipping 500 million tons of gravel a year down the river by barge. If you want to know what Mr. Colarusso's plans are, it's to take a piece of market share from his nearest competitor, and the competitor is down. It's the only reason to spend that kind of money to make an investment. So I just want to make that point. We know he's here to stay, but we need to understand at what volume. Nobody's trying to take jobs away. We just want to make sure that the infrastructure of Hudson is safe from the additional business that we know is to come. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Yes.
Melissa Offenauer from the Scotia Hudson on the waterfront. I want to support all the comments about the holistic being connected to the elbow, dock connected to the water, but I want to take a moment, because that's been covered very well, to discuss specific areas in the zoning, which even for someone like me, I don't district, subsection A, district purpose. So this area is a district purpose. The purpose of the core riverfront, see our district, is to encourage a mixture of compatible uses at the riverfront to provide access to the riverfront for water-dependent transportation, recreational uses, and water-enhanced uses such as restaurants and publicly accessible walking and biking trails to ensure that uses are compatible and protect the visual, cultural, natural, ecological, and historical resources of the city's core riverfront district. So, to meet independent transportation, recreational uses, and water-enhanced uses such as restaurants and publicly accessible walking and biking trails to ensure that uses are compatible and protect the visual, cultural, natural, ecological, and historical resources. It's a powerful statement. So, to meet independent transportation, recreational uses, and water-enhanced uses such as restaurants and publicly accessible walking and biking trails to ensure that uses are compatible and protect the visual, cultural, natural, ecological, and historical resources for the purpose of our cause, of the city's cause. Zoning law section 32534 says that the planning board shall further the expressed intent of the zoning law for this district. That means the planning board must evaluate the requested conditional use permit in light of the stated purpose of the CR district, which is the statement of Hudson's vision for how the district is to grow. That means for the first time, the mining use of the riverfront is no longer gained. The zoning law states implicitly that the vision is to create an atmosphere where other uses can germinate, grow, and thrive. Therefore, limits must be placed by the planning board on Paul Russo's use of the dock under a conditional use permit so as to minimize the adverse impacts of that activity on the surrounding neighborhood. Without those limits, the other parts of the vision for the waterfront as stated in the district purpose cannot be realized. And that seems like human language about what we have to consider and how important your role is in considering these factors and how we all want to use the waterfront. Thank you.
Thank you. We're not going to close the public hearing tonight. First of all, I think what we have to do is let, in the next meeting, the applicant respond to all the comments submitted. And we'll also entertain more comments from the public first. I'm sorry, I thought we were done.
Is that right?
I just have a comment just to follow up on intensification. I think there's, we kind of wonder why there's not the transparency that Calvusa has offered. Because right now there's about 40 or 50 trucks running a day maximum over a single lane haul road. They're proposing about 300 trucks. And right now they have the access and permission to run on the causeway both ways and immediately take the load off the second one. They're not doing that. So this has been going on for a while, just not being transparent in what their numbers are currently and the records. They go back all the way to 2000, pre-2011, and then beginning in 2014. Because O&G, the previous operator, Craig Brown, support, did use the causeway in two ways. So that's why I'm wondering why immediately we're not taking action safeguards to prevent that. And one thing that leads me to the zoning specifically is that safeguards is in the zoning 325-34, where it says on application and after public notice of hearing, planning board may authorize insurance, the issuance of building inspector permits for any of the conditional uses in this chapter. Including any such use, the planning board shall take into consideration the public health, safety, and the welfare, the comfort and convenience of the public in general, the residents of the immediate neighborhood in particular, and may extract appropriate conditions safeguards as may be required in order that the result of this action may, to the maximum extent possible, further express intent in this chapter and the accomplishment of the following objectives in particular. Right now, there are no safeguards. Pedestrians need to share the road or broad street to cross those trucks. There are no conditions that colleagues need to actually get to the board. that's where I think this new application, zoning, the planning board should insert itself and implement those safeguards.
Thank you.
Courage.
Okay. A very quick follow-up. I just want to bring to attention the fact that the company does arbitrarily use a single-lane causeway in one road in one direction to get to its dock property. So it's as if I say on my driveway, you only go in one way and never back out again. So in terms of what the volume is in the dock, bringing stuff there, like Tony's saying, I can't see why they can't immediately use that single lane and return their trucks back out or get them off the second word when they're talking about trying to alleviate truck driving. Because that's something you do, they can do right now via our existing zone.
Anyone else? Yes. Anyone, please?
Danette Cope.
I'm sorry?
Danette Cope.
I still didn't get it.
Danette. D-A-N-E-T-T-E. Last name K-O-K-E. 18 years neighbor here in Hudson. And my explorations down by the river have always abruptly stopped at all of the eyesore and the have been just so upsetting because this is absolutely a beautiful Hudson River scenic view.
Sorry, this is really not what we're taking public comments about.
It's my comment that it's horrible.
Fine, but it's not really what we're doing
now. So imagining it worse is just tragic and really a
okay.
shame.
Please, that's it.
How is that not a comment?
The public comments are supposed to be informational, not emotional. So as I said, I think we'll need our next meeting for Colorado, the applicant, to answer some of these questions, and we'll leave the hearing open so that if anybody does have more information, we'll still listen. So at this point, we're going to just move to our regular meeting. And the first thing we need to do is approve the minutes from last month. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes? Or sorry, does anybody want to change anything? Everybody happy with them?
Yeah.
Motion to approve?
So moved.
Gina?
Second.
Walter, all in favor? Okay, anybody opposed? No. The one application we have tonight is an amendment, and it's Jason O'Toole here.
Properties that you own, and you see here two of the properties are on the front of North.
Jason, can I interrupt for a second?
Absolutely.
To remind everybody on the board, as you recall, the issue was their parking. For people in the audience who don't know what this is about, it's a daycare center that wants to go into the basement of the Armory building, the current library. At the last time we discussed it, we had sent them to zoning to get a zoning variance because they did not meet the standards for parking by code. So what Jason is going to present to us now is an amendment that satisfies the code in terms of parking. Sorry.
Thank you, Tom. So as you can see here on the North 5th Street, we own these two properties here, 61-71 North 5th Street and 61-65 North 5th Street. We also own 449 Prospect Street. So what we're proposing is that we take the backyards of these three buildings and we make it into a parking lot. And we would satisfy the 11 required parking spaces that we need for this project, as well as three parking spaces for 61-71, because there's three individual residential buildings on that lot. Also over here for 61-65, they would be satisfied with their parking space as well. And also for 449.
Those are both your buildings?
That's correct, yes. And then for Prospect, 449 Prospect, we would satisfy a parking space for them as well. And as you see, we have our 11 parking spaces here with a handicap parking space as well that's required by code. We have presented this to DPW. They have given us an okay for the curb cuts contingent on one thing. There is a guy wire, which is a wire that supports a telephone pole, has to be moved out of the way for the curb cut over on Prospect Street. So that's the only requirement from DPW for the curb cuts for us to move forward with that. Also, and I think Mitch might bring this up as well, is that we are committed to that special permission clause of these properties, if they were ever sold in the future, that there would be an automatic easement put into the deed if someone ever bought these properties, so that this parking space would stay, would absolutely stay. So we're committed to making that happen.
So in case the board's wondering, it's all been approved by Greg. It's totally on cue.
This is
thanks
for all the effort you're making. I just want to
yes.
Clarify. You're required for the daycare 11 spots, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
And then now you're also going to be able to accommodate the parking that's needed for these buildings.
Yes, ma'am.
But you know, Laura,
I'm sorry.
But yet the total is still 11.
So we have here, Laura, you see here, these three spots right here are designated to 67-71. And this parking space here would be designated to 61-65. And then this parking space right here would be designated to 449.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Question, sure.
Yes.
Why did you abandon your other option, including going to ZBA to get your variance?
Well, we were committed to go to the ZBA. We just felt that this would be a more appropriate solution to the parking issue. So, you know, we own the property. I know there was also the issue of these parking spaces being utilized on a parcel that we didn't own. So we know that was an issue that the ZBA was going to bring up to us as well. So we just looked at the situation. We looked at the properties that we owned around the armory, and we just felt that this was the best solution for the parking issue.
Mr. Chair. Do you want to answer?
Yeah, just to elaborate.
Yeah.
I wouldn't take this as a negative at all. They had issues. The ZBA had issues. And Jason has been trying to deal with all those issues. This is permitted. I mean, we can talk about the easement and the timing of that. But this would be permitted. You wouldn't need the extra layer. This is a much better proposal.
Plus, they don't ever have to worry about the municipal.
Correct. And we talked about what if it goes, and then do we pull it, and everything else. Because no one really owned it. It was also hard to get a commitment because it was an annual permit, and how were they going to give proof? So this just was a much more, in reality, a much more efficient way to do it.
I hate to throw this wrench into it, Jason, but I think the nature of it is big enough that I think we do have to have another public hearing based on this.
Okay. Could I just ask that?
Sure. What?
Being that we own the property,
yeah.
Does that mean anything? That do we need to have a
public hearing? Still have a public hearing.
Okay.
It's more about the
okay.
impact of neighbors.
Yeah, because
it has nothing
right.
to do with
and
the
property. My response is that even if they own it and Greg says it's within
right.
the code of his regulations.
You can still say no, but
right, there's still
you better have good reason.
Right, there's still a question of appropriateness or whatever our role is here.
Yes, right.
And I guess my only comment is that as someone interested in cities and an urbanist, I'm always concerned about adding parking
mm-hmm.
in an area that wasn't parking and is not really designed for parking.
Mm-hmm.
Street parking is great. Access to street, I realize you have some difficulty in finding or using existing parking, but this is definitely expanding parking in a zone that isn't currently parking. And that's what urban design
backyards.
Well, yeah, we can talk about all that.
So just one thing on the parking, and I don't need an answer from you now. Yes. The board may think it's easier and better to put the easements now on those properties for the parking. And then obviously, since you own it all, if it comes a time that you want to not have it, then you can always release it. But that way they're there, and there's public notice to anyone looking at those properties that they know in advance that that's a requirement.
We would be fine with whatever way you want to do.
So I would suggest if the board does want to go ahead, that that be one of the conditions.
Sure. So in the meantime, please schedule a public hearing for the next meeting, and it'll be just about this parking amendment. And then we'll discuss.
So we discuss it later or now or what?
We can do both.
I'm assuming this is currently like a typical backyard for Hudson. I guess I can't envision what's there right now, but what is in these spaces now?
Go take a look. I mean,
that's
good.
I did yesterday. A 10-foot backyard, which is about what I have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, these are rental properties.
Exactly. It's kind of making a little alley of its own.
Yeah, basically what you're doing is creating a, I mean, there's grass and trees, and there's a garage and barn thing.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's like an alley.
One thing I'm a little confused about, this might be a zoning thing, is at least when we were trying to figure out our property, I thought there was a setback for parking from the property line of 3 feet in order to allow some landscaping.
This must fit it, or Craig wouldn't approve it.
Okay.
We could definitely ask that question. Well,
but then I would move on to suggest that I personally would give a little dimensional relief from a 10-foot wide parking space in order to get a little landscape at the edges where driving up and down the streets, so it would have a tremendous impact rather than a
big open space.
Like a 40, 75, 80 foot length of asphalt unbroken at the sidewalk.
So you might take that into consideration.
So I
could be like a hornbeam hedge or something.
Could you say that one more time, what you were saying in terms of,
oh,
are you talking about
no,
the
width
of
these? No. I'm saying right here, from that point to that point, if I'm driving up Rope Alley, I have an unbroken, I'm saying it's 65, 70 feet of asphalt.
Oh, so you're saying some hedges here.
Some hedges, some landscaping. Yeah, as long as it didn't interfere with public safety and
absolutely, we'd be open to that. Yes, I'm sorry that I missed that.
Put that on a new survey.
Great.
And just make sure you have it 1 week in advance.
Could that be hand delivered, by hand written on there?
Sure.
The hedges?
Sure.
Okay. All right.
So let us go over this again. Hedges? Easement, what else do we want?
Yeah, because put the easement in the 3 feet.
Yes, that's right.
Just
yep.
Just
yes.
He doesn't have to come back too many more times.
And the hedges should be looked at by public safety to make sure they don't say, oh, the car can't see somebody coming out. You know, they might have restrictions on that.
Well,
absolutely.
Is there a code issue?
Well, he should check with Craig.
Yeah.
Check with Craig.
On the setback and on the hedges.
I just want to make sure that we're covering everything because this is a good project. So, hedges, easement. Is there anything else? Lighting? Do we need lighting? Can we do okay? No. I don't know. I'm just bringing it up.
I'm asking. I didn't know what did you say?
She said lighting.
Well, lighting.
I mean, Jason, you might want to put some lighting in for the people, but just low level.
Okay.
You don't have to.
We could definitely look at that. Right. You know, this is actually just going to be parking for the tenants during the day.
Sure.
Day, and it's not going to be utilized by anyone else.
Private parking.
Yeah. Private parking.
Not necessary.
Okay.
Yes, and if you
I think we'd be more worried about negative lighting, actually.
Yeah, that's true. To get lighting.
No lighting.
Could I comment about the setback for a moment? Because I know Craig, and in fact, that was something Craig looked into extensively because he thought there was some issue with the setback.
Right.
But after
so
his review, yes, after his review, he felt confident with that.
And my guess is Dan would have done that too. But we can definitely have you confirm it.
Yeah, because
Dan,
if we're asking to add hedges or something, then that's going to be more, less space for parking. I mean, so you have to just make sure all your numbers.
No, because actually, unless you're driving a car that looks like that, the car is going to stop here. So you potentially have all of that available for landscaping, and hopefully the same thing over there. I'm sure you can.
We can make it work. Yeah, we can definitely make it work.
Any other questions from Jason?
I'll have a solution.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So, Pat, you want to contribute to this?
Yeah, I just wonder what would you. What do you need for us for next time? You're going to continue the public hearing.
Okay, good.
Hey, Pat, it might be nice for the attorney, who's much nicer than the previous one, to talk to the board, just so they can see that.
Oh, is the other one gone?
No, he's on a holiday. It's July.
One thing I want to remind
you, I have to get lectured today.
Is that we need, unfortunately, to have that meeting about the escrow, because we're out of money. So if we could set that up tonight somehow with Mitch and talk about that. But go ahead.
All right, so anyway, so quick question. So I had written my notes last month, public hearing tonight was going to be limited to 75 feet of steel we replaced. And of course it got, you know, way beyond that.
Well,
so
can I answer that?
Sure.
Pat, let's make it clear.
Yeah.
There's two ways you can do this. One is that it's a continuation of the non-conforming use, and either way the provision allows externalities to be reviewed. Or you could say we're changing it completely to whether you want to call it special conditions, additional conditions, and if you do that under on Article 8, the review for special permits certainly allows anything that's related to it. So either way, the 75-foot bulkhead, which is the primary concern here, how you get to that is the same property and is certainly under the purview of the authority of this board.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm not questioning what you guys are up to.
Okay.
I'm questioning what I wrote down. I wrote down we were going to talk about the bulkhead, and I had lots of notes on the bulkhead, and it turned into public hearing on everything from the mine to here. And you know, so I'm just wondering, I'm writing as fast as I can, but, you know.
I will agree right now that the volume on the mine and your operations on the mine are under the mine land reclamation law, and there's very, very limited authority for this city to undermine whatever you have. Now, you, meaning the applicant.
Can I just say?
Sorry. It's your meeting.
But the volume speaks to other issues that are in our purview. That's.
The truck traffic certainly falls under whether it's a special permit or a non-conforming use.
I'm not disagreeing.
For public safety. There has to be a basis on whether or not the rationale under the authority of the 325.17.1 is for public safety.
Right, and the bulkhead work that was done was basically for public health and safety. It didn't expand the use of the dock. We heard a lot of comments tonight about numbers and magic and all kinds of things. It was a repair, like, you know, repairing the screen door.
But Pat,
there's no product goes over that side.
Pat, you've been hearing since the first day you're here, whether it's the haul road or the dock. A legitimate concern that this board has is the amount of traffic, especially now, because at least the next 3 years, there's no Ferry Street Bridge. So you're going to hear those comments, and there's a good chance, and I haven't polled the board, but they're hearing this. So we have asked a legitimate question, and I understand, and this board has never asked you or the applicant to give volume at the mine. And I have publicly stated I believe that that is off base. But at the dock, it is not off base. You, the applicant, have always argued that the dock is separate from your mine land reclamation, that it's not part of the mining permit, correct? You've been arguing that to Greenport the whole time. Well, if it's not part of the mining permit, any numbers that you have that you think are permitted under the permit are irrelevant. So they, as a board, have a legitimate issue on what is the volume. They just need to know that it's going to be within the threshold of safety. That's it. That's all they've ever been asking. And what we don't want to.
It doesn't exceed 2011.
Well, that's if the board wants that, then you could ask for that based on.
Okay.
I mean, the board definitely has the right to ask that. Colarusso certainly has the numbers of what the volume they're doing at the dock. That, to me, as an attorney advising this board, is absolutely in play.
But.
Yes.
I'm Jeremy Spike, I'm the attorney for the applicant.
What's your name? I'm sorry.
Jeremy Spike, I'm the attorney for the applicant. I understand, we do have a haul road and then we do have the dock project. So, you know, here we're looking at, you know, the repair of the work, whatever we're calling it. So we're looking at that, which was done to protect public safety. So we're looking at, you know, in terms of this hearing, what we're really looking at the board's determining is, we did this work, what else needs to be done to ensure that that work protected public safety? There's two things going on, there's two proceedings going on here. This really relates to the dock.
Well, the two proceedings because you made it as such. There's should be, in my opinion,
well, with the repair,
Jeremy,
the repair
predated. Let me just finish.
Is they're not connected?
I don't agree with that at all. I think they are integrally, no, that's not the word.
Inescapably.
Related. I think that if you didn't have the dock, you wouldn't be doing any work on the haul road. And if you didn't have the haul road, you wouldn't really be caring much about the dock either. So to say, and I never understood how John argued segmentation. I never understood it. But if you want to keep arguing that, that's fine. Whether Greenport will listen to that, we'll find out in the next couple of weeks. But the fact of the matter is, as far as this city is concerned, and under the code, absolutely they have the authority for external impacts, the truck traffic, part of it going to the dock, because there is nothing going on the whole road over Broad Street that's not going to the dock. Correct, Jeremy?
But answering that question, yes, doesn't mean that everything is related and that segmentation.
Well,
what we're talking about is there was a repair that was done, okay?
Yes.
And that's what we're making sure that.
Excuse me, please.
Well, I want to comment. Sorry, Tom, can I make a comment? Yes.
Understood, we're here and we're applying for a permit. Okay?
Right.
Okay, that doesn't, just repairing that for public safety doesn't mean that the haul road project relates to this aspect of the dock.
I agree that just because, but it absolutely is intertwined. And the board is going to ask that question, and they're going to need information, and I think they have the right to that information.
Isn't the truck traffic in the narrative that we got?
In my view, and when we have this meeting, we'll talk about the fact that we'll need an engineer, but in my understanding, the only number that has been thrown out there is 142 trucks a day coming to 284 trips. As a maximum, they've always said that that's a maximum. The problem that I believe this board has is that's the only number out there. So any special conditions that you want to impose or additional conditions that you have to impose would be on that number. I don't think they want that because I don't think they do 284 truck trips every single day, whatever the amount of 250 days a year. But if they're not going to answer that question, then this board would have to say, okay, that's the only number we have to use. Now, as far as the 2011 and intensity of use, that's something that the board has to discuss, and if that's the way they want to go, then obviously we'll have to get some input from whomever we get on what that number is, whether it's the applicant or somebody else.
Clark, did you have a question?
I guess the comment I was going to make is, I mean, my understanding is that if you had gone through the process of coming to this board at the beginning of the project, appropriately, the ZBA rejected your appeal, correct? So that you had to go through the process. You're making the argument that the work's already done. If you had come to this board in the appropriate manner, all those questions would have been opened up at that time too. This board has a right to impose conditions per the zoning code if there's any work that's done. And we, as a board, have been asking repeatedly, JR has indicated that Calaus is being transparent. We're asking you to make good on that promise. We want information on the activity, truck activity on the waterfront during Calaus's ownership of the property, period, and what you expect in the future. And that's a completely legitimate question. We've asked it repeatedly, and we are now using our authority in this process to make that request.
So Jeremy, just one thing, and I said this at the public hearing in Greenport. I know you're listening to this, please, because I do hear what the board's saying. Just because there's a request for information, it should not be read into it at all that means bad things are going to happen. I think that they have a job to do. I've explained to them what their authority is. They have to do proper review. Whether you Article 78 or somebody else Article 78, We just have to do a full review. My legal opinion, I've advised the board, I believe that that full review, these are legitimate questions. What they do with it, we don't really know yet. And hopefully we'll have engineer input as to what thresholds become unsafe. And I've had some discussion with the engineer. There's been discussion, and by the way, your clients have been very good about things that we've already discussed. They've said yes to just about everything. So you know, I recognize that, and I think this board recognizes that. So there's been some discussions about, I forgot how our engineer phrased it, infrastructural barriers or whatever to differentiate and protect the pedestrians, the street, you know, all that stuff. So he's told me that if you're gonna do any numbers, it has to be under the consideration of what this is going to look like with those changes. So we understand that, but we need you to give us those numbers or else we're gonna have to use the worst case scenario.
Just getting back to hear her about the dock, just public. So a lot of that information just doesn't, it's not relevant to the repair of the dock.
We disagree.
Well, that's already been determined not to be true. So. I'm not trying to.
I think that the valid argument that had the process been that Color Rezo came to the planning board before the work was done. And I understand, I mean, I understand that Color Rezo thought that wasn't necessary. And they did have permits from other agencies. And that's, so this isn't a criticism, but had they come to us, this conversation would have taken place then. And so in essence, it is related.
And Jeremy, you can't argue that we shouldn't argue that we shouldn't do seeker or open up seeker, because the seeker did not, we were not involved in seeker because we were not listed, and the seeker analysis did not include any truck traffic. So just because you did it that way, obviously, had the city been advised properly and been included as an involved agency, which now we know we should have, then it would have been under segmentation, it would have absolutely been an issue. So we're not arguing anything new. And by the way, either way, this is going to be discussed, whether we do it now or we wait for the whole road and we consolidate it. Either way, it's going to be. So I hope we don't get into a pissing match that really is not going to have a benefit for anyone. Because, you know, either way, it's.
Right. I think you said there are two separate things going on here.
Well, I also said they're intertwined. And the other word that I couldn't connect.
Legally?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I guess that's it for tonight.
Process for, so we're going to have public hearings that are going to open.
And then you'll have the opportunity to address all the things that have been raised so far. There was another letter that came in today that's relevant.
So in the past, there's been some discussion, and I think Pat's already, and I have to remember about the new site plan, about some mitigation on noise and dust. Is that already on the new plan by the dock?
I have no changes proposed at the dock on the plans.
Okay, so we have previously discussed the applicant putting trees to block some of the noise and dust going north. And you made a comment, well, some people want, not maybe you, but the comment was made, some kids are looking at the barge being loaded and maybe that's good and all that other stuff. So again, I'm trying to give you the information that I think will be in for discussion. You may want to show what you think you want to do, because I think that is going to be an issue that's going to have to be discussed, and you might as well do it now rather than wait and then have to delay this another month.
Right, your engineers had suggested we plant the trees, and there's really a whole forest here. You got a forest going across here, and as I showed in that one picture.
No, we were talking about more at the
edge of the dock. Edge of your property there, yep.
As it out in here.
Yeah. But that's what the.
We could probably do something better than trees, because I don't think trees are going to grow out of the dock.
Okay. That's why I said the engineers.
Concrete
would be difficult. Yeah, well, that's true, too.
Some kind of a screen fence or something? I can look into that.
No. I'm talking about from the public comment originally that we heard. Because again, I don't want to have to waste money. There were comments that we heard that the people here, depending on how the wind is, gets a whole load of dust, and sometimes you can't even stay here. Also, obviously, the sound coming across this way. So our engineer had discussed the possibility of doing some type of a barrier, whatever it is, I'll leave it to the engineer, not me, in order to mitigate that. That's
right,
what
we could put something across here. I don't know what you're going to do with your park on a Saturday when nobody's working the dock. That's dust from your own parking lot. You got a dirt parking lot, no improvement at all. If you drive in there today, you're going to get dust out of your car. So we can propose something for, you know, the edge of the bulkhead. We can put some kind of screening there, but if you drive out to this point on a dry day, your car's going to get covered with dust anyway. This is a dust cloud that we took a picture of on Saturday morning. There's no activity. There's not any cars. It's just the wind blew. So keep in mind, you have a lot of dust in your parking lot. But I can propose something across the bulkhead if that helps.
Great. And right? You know, we'll want to review it.
Yeah.
With our engineering.
I just want to get something on the plans for you for next year. Mm-hmm.
Is it kosher for us to, you know, just kind of have a little discussion about the public comments and any of our comments and give Colin Russo a list of things that we might want them to address next time?
We will get to that stage, I think, with the entire project, yeah.
But I mean, just as everything pertains to what just happened here tonight, mm-hmm. because I think one of your questions was what do you want us to do when they come back in?
Well, I think the first thing we want is the public comments to be addressed. I mean, there are plenty of them, plenty of issues that were raised. I think they can speak to.
Do we want to pick out the salient points that were
That's
made?
Up to them to answer
yeah.
the questions.
Yeah.
I didn't hear questions. I heard comments.
Well,
people
to
want
address
to
the comment, you know.
Okay.
Now, Mitch, you said we got it. Is going to be CEQA on this?
No, I didn't say that.
No.
I said if the applicant wants that we done, I mean, it's very unusual that we would be granting a permit without CEQA. My analysis has shown, it's Troy sending a gravel case, that there's argument to be made that we don't have to redo CEQA because it was already done and we filed the lead agency. I don't worry about that because I believe because of the special conditions provisions in our code that we could address any of the impacts anyway. But if they want to argue, no, you can't do that, then I will say, well, then we need to do seeker. Seeker was never evaluated on truck traffic because they just went to the DEC and they went to the wetlands who didn't care about truck traffic. They were just worried about the environmental issue with the river. That was my comment.
One other question, Pat. Mm-hmm. I thought a couple of years ago when the causeway, when there was permission to use it, but then you couldn't use it for two-way traffic, DOT said you had to put up stoplights, or it was only one-way traffic could use it?
Well, the entrances need to be improved for the two-way traffic. We have to do some curbing and paving and things like that.
Yeah, but you can't, that's what I'm saying. I thought at the time they said that you couldn't do two-way traffic right now.
Well, I don't think DOT wants us to do two-way traffic because then you're going to track dirt out onto the street. They want, if you're going to do truck traffic coming the other way, they're going to want 200 feet of the paved.
Yeah. Okay.
The point is you still can do it two ways currently. Because
have you ever done two way? Can you do two ways?
14 foot wide is not two way.
I thought there was a problem.
What do you do with the trucks coming down Third Street to turn in? If you got one coming out, was the guy stop on Third Street?
I thought at the time DOT said you had to put you'd had to go.
I've seen trucks exit currently on the single lane. Not our trucks. I have.
Not our trucks.
They
closed the gate.
And LNG.
Not our trucks.
Okay. Don't have to have any more of that. So where's that witness? I guess we'll just end the meeting.
Just one on the, this is just the process.
Sure.
So we usually, you know, public comment, we took notes on that.
Yes.
You guys make, usually at the end we get the transcript. Will that be available for us?
Minutes, as soon as
okay.
Linda has it. And I might point out, you can hear it all on WGXC. They recorded the entire.
You get minutes, not.
They won't see you visually, Jeremy, unfortunately.
Correct.
I didn't consent to the record.
Okay, well, thank you. Carol, can we come on here for us? Oh, sorry, I didn't get a motion to adjourn. Was it adjourned?
Wait, 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 come on, we're not over.